Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
How's it going?
What is going on, Taj? Happy belated birthday to you, my man.
Thank you. Yes.
Can I share what age you are?
Sure.
You hesitated. That's not like you to hesitate. What'd you hesitate?
I was fixing my hat.
Okay. Yeah. Taj hit the big 50, everyone. 50 years old, looking like he's 25 years old. Got to give it to you. It's one thing I've always given my brother credit for. He looks like the baby out of us three. Anyways, Taj, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
As many of you know, we are live on the Power of Love Show. We are live currently on Facebook as well as YouTube, but you may be listening to us via podcast. Yes, we are also streamed on every single major podcast platform. So if you're used to watching us on Facebook and YouTube and you've gotten into podcasts, or maybe you just didn't even know about it, make sure to check out the Dede Jackson channel on the Dede Jackson podcast on your major podcast platform. Yep. And if you've been listening on the podcast and you have not written a review or given us a score, please consider doing so, as it helps others find this important content that we like to share here. Now, we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it and we have learned from it. And we like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. So, Taj, we have a special guest coming with us, but we like to start our show by just giving everyone a little update on how our week has been. And since we haven't done the show in a couple weeks, it's been several weeks. So your life has been a lot going on, a new baby, a new age. So you started off, Taj. You go ahead. Talk to us.
Sleep was a friend that I used to have, you know, in that way. That's one of the things that I guess you realize with a new baby in that way. I kind of knew that already, this being my third in that way, but it's compounded because the other two still want a lot of attention, and they already feel, because the little baby's getting attention, they even want more. So that's a new ingredient to the mix that I'm not really used to yet in that way. But they're so sweet with their sister anyway. So it's a blessing, and I'm obviously feel so lucky, but my sleep is definitely being sacrificed.
And but you know what, Taj, I can't say this. Sleep is something that will probably come back in time, and I say probably because there's always those you got a decade or so. I'm just gonna give it to you, bro.
I used to, when I was younger, I used to sleep in a lot, so it's gonna balance out. Yeah.
But you are incredibly blessed, Taj. I love hearing how my other nieces, I was going to say the sisters are can I share the name too?
Because
you did publicize it. So I'm excited to see how they all interact with each other, the protectiveness that Toria and Taylor have for Tylee. I think it's a beautiful thing. I love the names.
Yeah.
I think it's just a really cool thing, and it's such a blessing for you to have three girls. Yeah. I know I can assume that as we were youngsters, like one of you is getting three girls. It was like, hopefully it's not going to be me. That probably would have been all three of us boys' response. But, you know, I think that's an amazing situation you have. Just being a girl dad is one of the highlights of my life. So I envy you in a way, because you get to really enjoy girls. So it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I love girls in that way. I love being a girl dad. So it's great.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. As for me, not much has been going on. I got back from Nashville. I just missed Tyrell because I think he just finished with Papa T and the uncles, and they flew back. So, but I will see him soon. in Nashville, but everything else in my life is going well. And Terrell had a birthday. Talking about Terrell, he had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
So both of you guys, you guys are getting up there. I know, and I'm apparently not.
You know, I realize, and I probably shared this with other people, but I realize I'm old when I see like older people on TV or whatever, and I think they're old, and they're like 38 or 40, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
If 10 years older
than these people, and I always thought they were like, you know, the older, you know, they're playing older roles or whatever.
Like who, Taj? I was watching a Netflix series, and there was a guy that was playing a father. I'm like, he's playing a father?
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. I think it was a guy from American Pie.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was just interesting to me. I'm like, no, he's supposed to be a teenager.
Yeah,
like,
that's you always think of them as young in that way.
Funny. Yeah,
it's just crazy in that way for me.
Well, that's what happens. Life goes on, and you know, you learn, you learn, and hopefully laugh and love as much as you can and enjoy every minute. And that's all that we can do. Yeah. You know, and enjoy every minute. I know I just said that, but I'm gonna end with that because that's so important.
Yeah.
All right, Taj. Well, that was our intro. We did the disclaimer. That's the proper term, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can go straight into the intro for our guest, if that's okay. So we have a special guest on today. On today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we are welcoming Gina Maffa. I'm hoping I'm saying the name right. She gave me an incredible cheat code to say it right, but something tells me I may not have said it right now. But Gina is a licensed psychotherapist, a mental health educator, and media consultant in New York City. In practice for nearly two decades, Gina has helped thousands of people seeking treatment for trauma, grief, as well as challenging life experiences and transitions. This includes work with Holocaust survivors, as well as being a clinical director for Mount Sinai Hospital Outpatient Program, specializing in addictions. Gina received her master's degree in social work with a specialty in trauma from New York University. Gina is the author of Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, a modern guide to navigating loss that gives a compassionate, honest perspective on many types of loss and a sense of agency over what is a very unpredictable experience. So, ladies and gentlemen, here today to discuss her book, as well as a bit about the eight grieving rhythms. Without much further ado, I always sneak that word in.
Yep.
Please welcome the one and only Gina Maffa to the Power of Love Show. Gina!
Hi, guys. You did so well with my name.
Yes.
I was waiting for you to do it, but I'll do it. Yeah, we have the applause now. You're the first guest that gets the applause. I just want you to know that.
Oh, my God. How do I get that sound?
But you deserve it.
I need that. Thank you so much. I need that every day I wake up.
I love it. That's cool, Taj. I appreciate you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, right? You're the very first applause. So there you go, Gina. Gina, you, first of all, born and raised in New York?
Born in New York, raised in the Hudson Valley part of New York, about 50 miles up the river, but came back for college and never left. So technically, yeah.
Yeah, technically.
Okay. Okay. So pretty much New Yorker in and out.
In and out.
Okay. I before we get to some questions, I have to say, I love New Yorkers. I do. There's something about
a New Yorker.
You know what, Todd? That's probably why. I love New Yorkers. There's a vibe to New Yorkers I just think so highly of. So cool.
We're not nice, but we're kind.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, we're not nice, but we're kind.
But we're kind. We have no time, right? We've got to get things done. We're really direct. People take that as really tough and rough around the edges. But if you got lost, if you needed someone, if you needed a shirt off your back, you ask a New Yorker. We'll get it done.
I agree with that. I think that is so valid. There's a strength and a realness to New York, New Yorkers, without sacrificing the heart that I love.
Yeah. You know?
I really sense that. So I think it's really cool.
I'm a proud
anyways,
New Yorker.
Yes, I love it. Anyways, we obviously here at DDJF admire people like yourself who dedicate your work to helping others. So my first question is going to be, what experience in your life or experiences in your life led to your decision to work in the mental health field, specifically working with patients seeking treatment for trauma and grief?
Yeah, I think you can understand this, right? We don't always know what leads us to where we are until we get there sometimes. But, you know, if I were to think of this pivotal moment, it was at the end of my college career when I was a psych minor and international studies major doing a thesis on terrorism and its psychological aftermath of PTSD. Mm. And right then and there, September 11th happened. Wow. And what it did was it thrust me into really being so curious and passionate about trauma, because here we were, a city full of people, a country full of people, a globe even full of people who were traumatized, you know, and the media putting all of the images and people being lost. And we never, you know, you don't get over that. But what we didn't know was really what is PTSD, especially at that time. We'd only really associated it with Vietnam War and war syndrome. And so I was really, really passionate about, from that moment on, really being involved in the trauma world. And so I kind of changed what I thought I was going to do. And instead of going to law school, went to social work school and, you know, really wanted to study trauma and like get in there and be in the trenches. And that's, you know, that's what I did. But, you know, looking back on it, it's like, wow, we've all had really hard life events, but you don't think about it until after when you're like, oh yeah, that was a trauma too. You know, in my life, that was a trauma reaction. Wow, everything I'm doing. And so it's interesting, you know, you don't know it at the time that you're making this decision, because there may not be this one pivotal event in your personal life. But then kind of interesting, as you're in school for mental health studies, or, you know, for me, for social work, clinical social work, it was like, oh yeah, I had that experience. I had that experience. So, so I'm grateful though. I mean, it's all been really humbling. So that's kind of how it started.
What is working with patients who are navigating through grief? What has that taught you about grief itself that you may not have realized, you know, before the intense focus in the field?
You know, I think I wouldn't have understood the mystery of it, right? Because Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you know, back in the day, thank God she created something that we could start from and understand some of the things, even though it wasn't originally meant for grievers. But, you know, I understand now that we need a path. And yet, because everyone has a different experience, it's so mysterious, right? So everyone wants that science, and you can't with grief. It's a universal human wound that's different for everybody. And so I guess for me, I learned that it's more a mystery, right? Like to me, it's everything is different. Every client I have, I'm going down a different path. I'm going down a different, you know, whether or not I have tools and self-reflective exercises, where I go with that one person is a totally different landscape. And so the flexibility of being in that place and being privileged enough and humbled enough to be a traveling companion in these sometimes really scary terrains is something I didn't know about with grief, you know, because it isn't just about loss. It's about the way loss affects our lives and how it's led us back to other times in our lives, traumas and losses and really painful events. Like, it's never just that one thing. So you never really know where you're actually navigating with somebody. And that's the honor of it, really.
Taj, was there something you want to say?
I'm just listening, but yeah, like it's hard because grief isn't a one size fit all, you know, scenario. It's everyone's grieves differently. You're right on with that aspect of it in that way. And I think that's the thing, unless you've gone through it, people don't realize that. They think it's like, oh, I just have to say these things or do this, this, and this, and my friend or my spouse or whoever will be okay. And it's not like that. Everyone grieves differently.
Yeah. And then we never know when we're going to step on that landmine, you know, and that reawakening comes up. And because it's our full body experience, grief is, and nobody really gets that either. Everyone thinks it's an emotional experience, but it's full body. It's it's extrasensory, you know, it's always there waiting at the surface, you know, waiting just below the surface sometimes. So
yeah, it's great. Great point.
I'm just reading through the comments, and April says that's something they didn't add in school as a mental health class. I couldn't agree with that more, April. You know, we have physical health. We know about that, but we're learning more about the importance of mental health and to take care of it. And, you know, I think as we go forward and into the future, it's going to be more and more needed. So I think in time, hopefully it will happen. But unfortunately it's not, we're not there yet, but you know, talking about it and things like, Gina's upcoming book will help get dialogue coming up, and hopefully it'll be a real change that we will all see and witness for the next generations.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just hinted about your book. So let's, if it's okay, Gina, let's go into it. I'm curious to know what inspired you to write your forthcoming book, Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, A Modern Guide to Navigating Loss, which is releasing this month, by the way, everyone.
All right.
12 days. Yeah.
12 days. August 22nd.
I'm not counting.
Yes.
Yeah.
For 13 days. I'm not counting.
Okay. Before you get into what inspired you, I want to know, we were talking a bit about this before we went live, how hard it is to write a book, and how I truly feel you've already won. You've already done an amazing feat and accomplished something that so few do. I know, you know, there's other books out there that could be, I don't think any books are the same. So I don't want to say it's a similar book, but there's many other books in the grief space or mental health space, but you are in a space that is unique to you and therefore unique to thousands of more. So by you telling what you feel and what you've learned and all your thoughts, you're helping so many. So the first thing is I want to say on behalf of my brother and the whole foundation is thank you, because that's something we've always wanted and pleaded with, is more and more people to share their stories and to talk about it. We are more resources as we want. We want people to pre-order. As Amber said, mine's pre-ordered. Love you, Gina. So cool.
Nice.
There you go, you guys. And I'm going to put a slide up, and then I'm going to let Gina take it away with what inspired her to write this book. Yes. There we go. An overlay. Oh, so go ahead.
There it is. Boom. There it is. I love it.
So yes, Gina, what inspired you to write Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go?
Well, you know, I got the idea during the pandemic because I was working with people. As you know, there were millions of people that were losing their lives, losing family. But also beyond that, there were so many other types of non-death losses that were just adding up and piling up for people. And so for me, and by the way, I was getting calls from people all over the country, and I was volunteering at the time with two other organizations. I just didn't have enough time in the day and enough hands. But what I learned most of all was that so few people, it felt at the time, had access to specialized therapy. And so for me, it was like, okay, I work with a certain group of people who are a little bit more on the young side. You know, they're, you know, emerging adults or people kind of 19 through say 30s. But people, but this works for everybody. For me, it was like, okay, so who can't afford to go to therapy? Who's afraid to go to therapy? Who doesn't have a grief therapist, a trauma therapist in their town? Those were really big questions for me. And so for me, as a clinical therapist, I wanted to say, I want to provide somebody who may not have access to therapy to as close to specialized therapy in this really, really specialized time in their life, right? Because you do need people who are grief informed and trauma informed to work with sometimes, unless you have a really amazing therapist and you feel safe and wonderful. But for me, I thought, what are the issues that are coming to me right now? It's people who, you know, it doesn't fly when you're like, you're going to feel what you feel as long as you feel it. It's going to be messy and you're going to just have to allow it for as long as it's there. And for people who have a lot of anxiety, that doesn't fly. It just doesn't. You can't just say, well, just sit here and we'll befriend and engage your grief. So I wanted to look at all the things coming my way and speak in a way that, albeit isn't flowery, my book isn't poetic, but what I wanted to do was speak simply, because when people are grieving, they have brain fog. They're only, you know, they're not looking at hard things. They want to know what to do in this moment. And so what I tried to do with this book was think of all the people who were calling me from places that didn't have access to therapy and say, what is it that you actually needed? You know, and sometimes it was simple stuff, you know, like not simple, but, you know, how do I create boundaries? How do I know what my needs are? How do I date again? How do I grieve something while I'm married and in relationship and this person hasn't lost it? How do I say no to going to an event? You know, how do I deal with people who don't understand what I'm going through? What happens to my body during grief, right? Like we were talking about earlier, how do I know what I'm experiencing is grief? What is traumatic loss? And what if my loss wasn't quote unquote traumatic, but it feels traumatizing, right? Because we all have a history that shows up in the present. So to me, I didn't want to have a book that wasn't helpful. I wanted it to really help people in the moment, in fresh grief, when their brain isn't working that well, because, you know, it doesn't when we're in grief, as you guys know too. Mm-hmm. And really that could help people feel like they're in a safe, and I say safe, but my hope is to create it, a place where they can have a soft landing, you know, and in a way that isn't just to, you know, just the person who's the authority, but somebody who's also been in it and has also lost my own mother and grieved my own, you know, my own losses. So that's sort of my long answer for that, that is my inspiration.
No, I love it. And I'm going to just pull up a question on top of this overlay. And Simon Violence wants to know, will it be available on Amazon? That answer is yes. Absolutely. As you could see, you see all the stores. There's BAM, which is Books A Million, Bookshop, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Audible, and Target. Taj, go ahead and ask your question because I do have another question after. But go ahead, Taj.
I don't need to ask it because someone already said I just pre-ordered the Audible version of your book, Gina. So, I would have had that question, but
Taj, there's a second part. There's a second part of the question you usually ask, and first is there an Audible version? Yeah. And then go ahead, Taj, with the second. Part.
Are you narrating it, or are you the one speaking?
I am, and it's funny you should ask because I had to audition to play myself. It was really hard. I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize I had to audition to play me. And so it was really touch and go for a while. Like they kept me waiting for a week after I sent in my audition. And then when I finally got the role to play myself, I was like over the moon. I was like, I never thought I'd be so happy to be me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I love the way you say that. When I got the role to play myself, that's amazing.
You know, we always want to escape. And then this day I was like, I want to be me.
Yeah.
But I do it myself. And and it was hard, you know, it was harder than I thought. And I definitely have moments of like choking up in there during my own retelling of losing my mom on this crazy day. So it's
powerful.
It's
but you know, and this is I have so many places to go and questions and comments, but it's so important for people to, I don't want to say surround yourself with grief, but you need to understand and realize, because you may not have experienced this significant loss or went through or grieving, quote unquote grieving at the moment, or you may not think you are, but there will be a time when that happens. And the what I found was the most difficult thing when I lost my mother and also my uncle, but you know, pretty much a lot more my mother because of my age and just the shock of it, was that there's a very isolating feeling. You feel like you're all alone. You feel like the world just stopped on you. And back in the 90s when it happened, I was an avid reader and I could not find a book. And if your book was there, it would be a lot easier, I think, for me. It's a beautiful book. But the point I want to make is, even if you're not going through a grieving moment right now, understand it, educate yourself, because it will eventually happen. And if you can have those tools prior, you're going to come out of it, I think, a lot better space. And that's why it's appealing to me to advise the people to download your Audible. If you're not a reader, just download, just hear phrases, understand concepts. It will do you a world of good.
And also just to add, you know, that if anybody here is listening that doesn't think they've gone through loss of any kind, I would say think again, because really we've all been through loss, whether it's been a death-related loss or not. You know, for sure, as we get older, but also things, you know, if you've ever been through a breakup, you've gone through loss. If you've ever had your heart broken, or you've ever got passed over for a promotion, or you've ever had fertility challenges, or, you know, all of this is grief. And right now, it's the biggest mental health burden people are carrying post-pandemic. But I think that so many people have never really understood that grief can be the loss of anything significant in your life, and that it's valid if you feel grief and nobody has died. So that feels important just to share in case anyone's listening but hasn't gone through specific death-related loss.
Yeah. Gina, your book is called Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go. I just thought of this question, so I apologize for not preparing you, but I'm just curious, was there another title that you had in mind for your book?
I did. It's funny you should ask. Well, it didn't pass the test, but I wanted to call it the G word, because so many times I felt like people were the G word, but I kept messing it up and calling it the G spot by mistake. It had to go.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, because it was really representative of how people shy away from grief, and how, you know, you lose friends, you lose community members sometimes, and how grief became this thing that felt like it was contagious.
Yeah.
And so people would never want to say it. And I remember even just, you know, after I lost my mom, somebody saying something like, oh, it's like the big G. And I was like, I don't know that one. I know like the big C, the big D, like I know all these big letters, but the big G, I didn't know. And so when I was thinking about naming the book, because I had the book concept, but I didn't have a title. Everything felt really, I don't know, fake or whatever, but the G word felt really good until I couldn't pronounce. Kept saying it wrong.
Yeah, I like both titles, but I understand why you went with the first one, considering you may have messed up on a big interview or something.
It would definitely keep it interesting. It would be like, what kind of grief is this?
it may have went viral, so you never know.
You know what? I'm onto something.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Gina, what do you hope, as the author, what do you hope people will take away from reading it?
I think mostly, you know, that they can have a sense of being less alone in their grief, and that things that they didn't, that felt really confusing to them before, or things they didn't understand they were experiencing, but now have a name for and have a path towards healing in some way. That's kind of my hope, right? Is that, you know, I'm trying to say I'm in this with you, and here's what people learn, and here's what you might experience, and here's how you can have a sense of control over something that is totally unpredictable and unrelenting, you know. But if we can have something along the way where you're like, oh yeah, that I have that feeling, or I've experienced this physical sensation, or oh my God, I didn't realize I had a trauma that connected me to this. Because the more we, and I hate to say it this way, but the more we understand our loss and the way that it affects our entire life and connects to our history, the better equipped we are to really engage with it and befriend it. And so as much as I believe that we feel what we feel as long as we feel it, I believe that we are not totally, you know, we're not just surrendering to something the entire year and for the rest of your life. So that's my hope.
Well, and I showed the overlay, but I should explain the overlay as well, because I saw several people have already pre-ordered. So as a thank you for pre-ordering your copy of Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, Gina created a free digital journal to help you continue to process your loss. So obviously step one is to order your copy. And then step two is to go to ginamaffa.com.
You're good. You did it.
I know. Your tip has helped me tremendously. And maybe at the end we'll share what that tip was. GinaMaffa.com, and then you can get your free digital journal. So getting through goodbye. I love the look of the book in the journal, by the way. I think those colors are beautiful, and I think it's simple, and I think it's great. So well done on both of those items.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so anything else you want to discuss about the book, or anything other things we may have missed before we move on to a slightly different topic?
No, I mean, I think anything more about the book?
No, No.
Yeah. Okay. No. Let's keep going. Right.
Okay. So I want to know about grieving rhythms, what they are, and a bit about each of the eight. Now, I have to say, I've never heard the phrase grieving rhythms. As a musician, I feel like maybe I should have, but you have my attention, so I'm ready to understand and learn about these eight grieving rhythms.
I love it. I'm also a musician, so that was kind of where it came in. So I'm a singer. So that's kind of where it came. I sort of kept thinking, you know, being a therapist for 20 years, you sort of start seeing that people come in and they have coping tendencies, right? So everyone has like a cope, you know, whatever you're going through that may be difficult. It may not even be grief. It could just be something really hard, a bad day, whatever. But we all have a tendency towards coping. When it comes to grief, it's no different. It's just more, it's more intense. So I decided, because we're all so ill prepared for the grief process, to, you know, and grief that we're thrust into, even if we've lost before, that it might be helpful if we could just say, well, here are some experiences that you probably do, or you might, you know, tendencies you might have when you're dealing with hard stuff. And you may kind of flow through them all in a day, or it may be this one thing that you do. But really what it is to say, if you do this thing or this is your rhythm, it is not bad. And do not shame yourself. And just know that this is so normal, and maybe we can lean into it, right? If I know, so for example, I have a rhythm, I could go over all of them, but I have a rhythm, you know, called the intellectualizer. So if, and it's sort of what it is, right? There are people who like to learn everything, read all the books, get all the knowledge, and they can tell you everything about how they feel, but they don't feel it. They have a hard time connecting to the actual feelings. So they want to understand it. They want to dissect it. They want to analyze it, but to feel it feels really scary. And so a lot of people can go into this place, right? So there's another one called the ruminator. So you lose somebody or you go through something hard and you, and it is what it sounds like. You think about it, you turn it inside out, you make yourself feel guilty for things you should have done and didn't do, could have done, all of that. And it makes us believe that we have control over something, right? So there's these tendencies that we go into, and maybe you do both of them, right? You know, there's the diver. The diver is someone who will join all the support groups, get all the books too, you know, talk to everyone they can about what their experience is. They'll lean into it. They'll go to therapy first, you know. They want to be fully, fully present. They will do all of the things. They want to be really present with what they're experiencing. There's the survivor, you know, and the survivor might be a one that a lot of people can identify with. They're the caretakers. They're the people that have to, you know, parent, go back to work. They don't have the luxury of grieving, you know, and I call it a luxury because a lot of people in, you know, this country, unfortunately, with our bereavement leave is lackluster, and that's an understatement. You know, but anyway, these people have to focus on really urgent matters. So they don't have the time. So they're in this survivor rhythm. They keep moving and moving and moving because they have no choice. And so I think, and because of that, some people will say, oh, you're not grieving. You're just pushing it away. You're not, you know, and I think it's really important to know, but you are. It's there. Mm. It's just where you are right now. And it's a part of that tab that's always open in the background. And if this is you, lean into it in a way.
So I think I'm the intellectual one.
I knew that because you were talking about the books.
Okay. So yeah. And by the way, Taj, that was no slight at you. It wasn't like I'm the intellectual one and you're not.
Oh, trust me.
I was just saying out of the eight grieving rhythms, I think that's the one I am. Yeah. But my question is, if I ironed it out or I knew for sure that's what I am, my question is, how does knowing that help me navigate any grief I may be experiencing or will experience more effectively?
Yeah, I think first of all, just what I said before is understanding what you experience and how you experience it is empowering, right? Mm-hmm. Because grief is the most disempowering experience there is, because it's nobody knows what to expect. So if you can just look at yourself and say, okay, this is my rhythm, this is how I know I do things, you're not going to feel along the way, number one, that you're stuck, that you're doing it wrong. And you may understand, okay, so I know I intellectualize. So I now know that I need to take steps towards either going to a support group or talking to peers or someone or a therapist and allow myself to feel what I feel. Because I know now that I don't do that in this rhythm. Mm. And so that's sort of what it is, but it does it in a way that's not shaming. You know, where there's so much shame around grief and how we grieve and the way we have to do it right and how not to get stuck. And the truth is that these rhythms for me are a way to say, we all have a protector inside of us that keeps us going. And that's okay, however you do it. And you may feel all of these things within a day or a week. But what it does is if you went to therapy or you went to a support group and you said, hey, Gina's book, you know, showed me that I'm the survivor, right? Then maybe that support group can hold you accountable and say, okay, we know you're always moving. How do we make time for you? What do we do together now to say, you don't have to survive all the time. You can feel what you feel and let's make space together. Mm-hmm. Let's give you a day off. Let's get a babysitter. Let's, you know, have somebody come in and clean your house as a community, you know, whatever it may be. To me, it gives permission for people around you to know you, gives you permission to know you, and also how you tend to lean. And it's in a way that I don't want anyone to shame for themselves.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant because I think Taj mentioned it earlier that, or maybe not, maybe it was a different conversation, but the idea that there's a one size fit all and we all respond to the same way in a unison way. It's good to know that, you know, if someone like me, who's more of an intellectual, if I have struggles feeling things more, there's a roadmap or there's some guidelines that can help me get to a healthier place of grieving and not shaming myself and not blaming myself and not feeling like I'm doing it wrong or, you know, I think that's a very cool thing. So is it on your website? Is it through calls with you? And I guess the question would be, how can listeners get in touch and learn more about working with you and the services you offer, including individual therapy, life transition therapy, and media consulting?
Oh boy. Sounds better when you say it. right now I'm taking a little bit of a break on individual work. Just because I just finished this book, but come the new year, I will be taking on new people again, but you can go to my website. It's GinaMaffa.com. You can find me on Instagram. I love, my community is everything to me there. And, it's at GinaMaffa, LCSW, all one word, lowercase or wherever it is there, you'll find me. And, yeah, I mean, if you have questions, if anything I'm saying you have questions, please know that I am not just somebody here doing clinical work, writing a book. Like, this is for change and inclusivity and community. And without community, we are nothing. So please know that, you know, any way that you see my information here on the screen, please feel free to reach out to me.
Beautiful. So, and just to make sure, Gina, your website, that's a good place to start as well, correct?
Yeah.
I assume it has everything. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
I also just started a, just to put it out there, I just started a Facebook support group on that. It's called Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, right after the book. So if you're on Facebook, just type in Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, and you should be routed to this Facebook support group. I just wanted to have something extra.
I love it. Now, we have our group on Facebook as well, and the more groups, the better. Yeah. It's probably my favorite feature of Facebook, and what makes it still stand out to me are these groups. They're very powerful. You're in a community, a safe community where people are discussing and going through similar things you're going through or helping you through things. So anyone going through a loss or a struggle and you're enjoying this, please consider joining Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go, the Facebook group. I think it's fantastic. I think that was it, Gina, but I want to make sure before and by the way, people have been guessing what you said to me to help me.
Oh, really?
But we'll let them guess and we won't forget to say it. Right. So I'll mention if it's okay with Gina.
Even the second one was related to the first that I said. It's actually very funny, but yeah.
Okay, Taj, is there anything you have or any other questions before we get Gina's final kind of thoughts?
No, I was just reading the comments, and you know, obviously the comments have always, you know, I always love reading them because I get to follow and listen as well in that. And I'm definitely in the survivor category. I, you know, as you were talking about that, I didn't have, as the older brother, I had to had responsibilities in that way.
Yeah.
And so, and for me, I still deal with that time, that issue in terms of, I still haven't looked back and like really sat in the grief, if that makes sense. I'm still moving in that. And so, and I don't know if I ever will, like, I'm just being honest, but that's just, I'm just constantly like the next thing in terms of that. But yeah, that's definitely where I stand. I started trying to be an intellectual, or as people would say, the intellectual part, but I couldn't find any resources. And so I stopped and kind of went that in that way. But yeah.
Well, and now obviously your life is set up too to keep moving and moving. And now you're not even sleeping.
Yeah. So yeah. And then so that it kind of helps in that way. Yeah. That's survival, I guess, in that way. Yeah. Just keep moving and keep, you know, going even when things are thrown at you and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, you don't need this therapist here to tell you that at some point it would be good for you to sit down.
Oh, I know.
And,
yeah.
You know, and it doesn't always feel good. And I should say, oh, I should take the always out. It doesn't feel good. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, let's not just work with the soil. You know, let's not just work with the weeds. Let's work with the whole soil. We'll clean out the system.
Nice. I like
that. All right. So, Gina, we are at the time. We're at the time.
Oh no.
Yes.
Official.
It's officially, we are there where we are going to turn the mic over to you and give you the freedom to tell us, the DDJF community, anything that you want to talk about. It could be on topic. It could be off topic. It doesn't have to be on topic. So it could be your favorite quote that you've always remembered. It could be a story you remember. It could be your favorite current song, your favorite TV show, your favorite cooking recipe, anything you want, Gina. I am curious to know, along with Taj, what do you want to leave our community with?
I mean, first of all, just as a quick aside, thank you for what you do, because you're saving lives. I mean, you are saving lives, and people like me and our grief community, you are such an integral part. So any day you ever feel tired or exhausted emotionally, just know that you make a difference every day.
Thank you, Gina.
That's why it's always been a dream. Randy, who is just on here, I'm like, I hope one day they ask me on there. Because I love what you do so much. So thank you. For that aside.
No.
But you know, awesome. When you asked me before and you were like, what's your favorite TV show? And it's really interesting because right now there are so many shows out there on grief. And Apple TV is filled with books on the mind, with shows on grief right now. It's everywhere. Even Succession on HBO, Sex and the City, you know, there's so much out there. And it's my hope that everyone who's watching, with all of you, with our grief community, that we could use this to bolster what our mission really is, and that's to change policy, bring it to education, you know, teach children young what it is to grieve so people are less uncomfortable with grief and, you know, funerals and all of this stuff, and to be able to meet our emotions. You know, you Taj, if you were able to, as young Taj, you know, what difference that may have made if you felt like there was this supportive community out there and that it was okay to feel what you felt, you know, and that we would hold on to it a little less. But, you know, my real, real hope is, and that's kind of also why I wrote the book, I feel so strongly about changing the way we see grief in this country and helping to create community, grief literacy, changed policy, and bereavement leave, education reform. I mean, and I have a tall order, but I am Italian, and it goes with, you know, so my hope is that with the more that we all come to the table, the more books there are, the more conversations you bring here through this beautiful format, that we can actually make change together, because there's no other point for these books and these conversations except to bring people together, bring hope, bring love, bring care, bring witnessing, and then bring change. Nice. So that's my hope. I didn't plan to say this, but you know,
Love it. So a couple more things, Gina, and I know we may have talked about this. What is the absolute, you mentioned your Instagram, you mentioned the Facebook group. What is the absolute, is there a better way to get in touch with you or another way that you want to share?
I mean, no, outside of my website and my Insta, those are the two places. I mean, I'd give you my phone number, but
No, we're not doing that. But I do have an email. I do have an email, but I don't know if I should share
it. Oh my goodness. Yes. Of course. Yeah. Which you can also get on my website. But yes, it's Gina at GinaMaffa.com.
Okay, absolutely. Wanted to make
Thank
sure.
Thank you for that.
I didn't want to just throw it out there in case you didn't want it out there, but I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Okay. And my birthday is August 4th, so I'm right ahead of you or behind you.
You're Wintosh.
That's me.
That's your 4th. Birthday?
Yeah.
That is We're it. Birthday Indeed. Twins.
That's the magic there. Oh, I knew
I liked you for a reason.
Yeah, I'm an August 4th
birthday. I feel so lonely over here.
Yeah, you should feel lonely.
It was a special day. Barack Obama.
Is he on the 4th? Is why I knew he's early.
On the 4th. Both left-handed. So I always say that's why
I'm not left-handed. But yeah,
I love Michelle, but one day.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, Gina, it's been amazing. I want to highlight some comments from the community. Adrian says, thank you for being here with us and sharing, Gina. Lana's Little Thing says, thank you, Gina. Lana. That was so practical, kind, and much needed for our mental health and strength. Awesome. Carrie says, thank you, Gina. This was so insightful, and you're an amazing speaker.
Carrie, thank you.
And Caroline says, thank you, Gina. Very helpful. So, thank you, again, Carrie. Everyone, Miss Silent Siren says, I got to get my hands on this book. So,
I love you.
I will mention it again. You guys can go to Amazon. You can go to Target. You can do Audible. You can go to BAM, which is Books a Million. So many different places. And let me just find it one more time. It is called Moving On Doesn't Mean Letting Go. It comes out August 22nd. You can pre-order. And if you pre-order, you can go to GinaMaffa.com and you would get... this isn't going to work for me, but there it is. You can go to GinaMaffa.com and then you can get your free digital journal called Getting Through Goodbye. So a lot of cool things if you pre-order.
Yeah, that's true. And if you go to my website, there's the option to joining my street team. This is sort of like a little sneaky thing, but it's only if you really like what I'm doing. But if you do, then you get the first two chapters sent to you in your email, like just Very as a cool. sneak peek. So Very cool. it's something, you know.
Yeah. A couple more comments I want to highlight. Jennifer says, just another just pre-ordered. Awesome for Gina.
I'm so grateful.
And then a little off topic, but not off topic because it's still DDJF. Kim says, TJ and Taj, maybe you should do an episode of postpartum depression. It's a type of loss. It's a loss of ourselves. So we definitely will keep that in mind, Kim. And we appreciate the idea. And for anybody out there, anyone in the community, if you ever have any ideas or topics you want us to address, please do let us know. Yes. We are here for you. This is something that we, all three of us, have experienced, and it's a challenging situation. And we are just trying to do the best we can to help you get through it and to let you know you are not alone and there is help. So, I think that is it. Taj, was there anything else I may have missed?
No, just, obviously this has been an incredible, you know, talk in that way. And thank you so much for writing a book that's so necessary.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me here to talk about it.
And winning your audition too.
And yeah,
that was the best part.
Your Audible audition, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
I have to say, I had to give an Emmy performance with that one after winning it. So
love it.
It's definitely dramatic.
Okay, and you know what, Gina, I almost forgot. So before we sign off, do you want to tell people what you told me to help you to remember how to say your last name?
Sure. I of course I could say it. I'm Italian, right? So it's always the reputation. But he said, how do you say your name? Is it Mofa? And I said, it's Gina Maffa. Think of mafia. or Jimmy Hoffa. You know,
there we go.
Things that are like, you know, connected to the mob, but it's
it worked. It worked.
It worked. You definitely needed to be sure of yourself on that first one.
I know. I know. I butchered so many names, Gina. It was hard to be overly confident, but I'll always remember yours. And Gina Maffa, thank you so much for joining us. And best of luck with your book and all future endeavors. Know we are here to support you.
And likewise.
And I think that's it. We will say goodbye, everyone.
Thank you so much. Congratulations, Taj, again.
Thank you
so much, TJ. All the best for
everything.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having me. It was such an honor. Thank you.
Absolutely, Gina. Everybody else, we will see you guys next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Please be safe. Enjoy your week and adios, everyone. Bye,
everyone. Thank you.